Travel presented by Vintage Guitar Magazine with your host, me, James Patrick Regan, otherwise known as Jimmy from the Deadlies. And today I'm speaking with singer-songwriter bandleader Colton Moore as he drives through Texas. In our conversation, Colton tells us about his tour schedule throughout the country and the cost of traveling in a bus with a full band and when they have an opportunity to get off the bus. Colton describes taking time away from music from 2014 to 2018 to start an international hunting outfit, and Colton discusses his musical upbringing and his different guitars, Collins, Fender, Martin, Gibson, and a 1962 Harmony that's his beater guitar, and he talks a little bit about Baxendale conversions out of Santa Fe, New Mexico. Colton tells us about his band, which he started in 2011, and what led him to hang up the band in 2014, and what brought him back in 2018, and he talks about his new album, A Place That I Call Home. Finally, Colton talks about his pedal chain, both acoustic and electric, and his amps. To find out more about Colton, you can go to his website, ColtonMoore.com. That's ColtonMoore.com. Please subscribe, like, comment, share, and most of all, review this podcast. I really appreciate it. And please support Vintage Guitar Magazine and all the wonderful things they do for us guitar players. Because guess what? They do so many wonderful things for us guitar players. Here's my buddy Colton.
Hey, James. How's it going?
Good. How are you, Colton?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Where are you heading to and where are you coming from?
I'm actually headed from West Texas, just out by a little town called Marathon, which is a little bit desert of West Texas. Heading from there to home, which is Fort Worth, Texas.
Okay.
So I've got like a 6.5 hour drive.
And what are you driving in?
In a rental car, actually, because my truck decided it wanted to blow up pretty much about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, no.
Driving down the highway and looked down, realized I didn't have any power, and on the screen, the speedometer screen, it's a complete engine failure, get to safety.
Oh no.
What the hell does that even mean? luckily it's a recall deal and they're gonna fix it and get it back to me, but yeah, so I'm just traveling today, man.
Yeah, exactly. Do you had a gig last night in, I can't remember the name of the town, but
no, I was just out there visiting some friends.
Oh, okay.
And just headed back home, and then we're back on the road, I guess, part of next week.
Uh-huh.
And we've got a couple of shows with Charles Wesley Godwin in Kansas and Missouri, and then we've got another week off, and then we're out on our fall tour, and we go all the way up to New York, and then, kind of back down through the Midwest, I guess, got Nebraska, and I don't even know where all 23 dates, 30 days, something like that. So,
So you're playing on Halloween. You have young kids, correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I do. Yeah. I've got one daughter.
Yeah.
She's 3 years old.
How does that work? How does your wife deal with that?
She's not thrilled about it, but, they're going to be with me. They're usually always on tour with me.
Oh, really? Okay.
Really nice. Yes. So we're just going to make the best of it, and we've kind of made jokes. We might do like a trunk or treat thing inside the bus, and all the guys can hand out candy. And, we'll probably do some sort of trick or treating for her and dress up for the show at least, you know?
Yeah, right on. So that's cool.
It'll be different Halloween, but
so you guys are traveling in a bus when you're on tour?
Yeah, we are. Generally if we're out for any longer than a weekend, we're in a bus. It's just, I don't know that we deserve it necessarily.
It's not a matter of that. It's, can you afford it?
Well, that's the thing. We can, but it gets tougher and tougher every year with how expensive things are.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just kind of a necessity for our crew. I mean, because I like to always have my wife and kid with me.
Sure.
And then I've got seven other guys on the crew between band members and tour manager and merch guys. So it's a pretty big crew and just not feasible in a van. So bus it is. And if I have to take it on the chin every once in a while, that's all right.
Yeah. Yeah. And just in general, how many dates are you doing a year?
Man, I think this year, 2025 that we're in, is the most dates we've done in probably the past 6 or 8 years. And we've played maybe 55 dates already, and then with this fall tour coming up, I think we'll round up around 80 shows, something like that, you know, with one-offs and festivals and stuff. So
yeah
it's been, for us, that's a busy year, because we took from 2014 to 2018, I stepped away from music and didn't play at all. Going back and kind of the first few years, didn't have a booking agency or anything. We were just kind of doing it on our own.
Yeah.
And playing, you know, minimally, playing like 6 to 10 shows a year. And then I guess 2023, we started kind of ramping things up. Maybe 2022, I forget what year it was exactly, but we did our first like big bus tour where it was a headlining tour that we did out west, and
yeah,
we played like eight or nine states and did like 15 or 16 shows, and
yeah,
that was a big step for us doing that. And then you know, every year since, we've kind of grown that, you know, like I said, this year we're looking at, you know, somewhere around 70 to 80. So that's kind of my cap, though. That's where I feel it's a comfortable spot, not burning out me or any of the guys.
Well, your wife and your kid.
Well, yeah. And they're troopers, man. They love being on tour.
Oh, good.
And especially my daughter. She would rather be doing that than being at home, for sure. Oh,
yeah. Right. That's cool.
But no matter what, I mean, at the end of a 20-30 day run, everybody's ready to get off the bus and go home and get back to normal, you know. So
yeah. So you're bringing this bus into town, are you also getting motel rooms or is just the bus?
Yeah, we've got to get the driver rooms every night, of course. And then, yeah, we try to do, you know, we try to stay as smart as we can with getting rooms. And a lot of times I'll just get one room and it'll be like a shower room.
Yeah, exactly.
The venue doesn't have a shower, you know, and everybody gets to run through there and take their turn on taking a shower. And but then sometimes if we've got like 2 or 3 or 4 days off in between, and we're still, you know, way too far away from home to go back, we will do like an Airbnb, Airbnb, and everybody can, you know, get off the bus and be able to have a nice big space to,
yeah,
you know, ride or play or fine tune the set or just not do anything musically at all, just chill, you know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. When you took
those are always fun times.
Yeah, yeah. When you took those years off, what were you doing for work?
I actually own a hunting outfit. So I own an outfit that leases a bunch of property in Texas, and I also do stuff abroad in Mexico and New Zealand and Africa. So I was doing that. I was building that business in those 4 years, and then I still do that. It's not I don't do a lot of it because I'm just so busy with music and with the family.
Yeah.
But I've got a great crew of guys that work for me and a good right hand man that runs the show with the outfit. So yeah, I was just really kind of strange. I stepped away to a totally different career.
Yeah.
But they're so similar in so many ways, you know. Lots of time away from home,
yeah.
Lots of late nights,
yeah.
Lots of it's crazy how similar they are, but yet so different. But yeah, it was a good 4 years, you know. And yeah. And it's I always tell people hunting was like my first love.
Uh-huh.
So the first thing that I really fell in love with before, you know, women, before playing guitar and becoming, you know, infatuated with music, and
sure.
Hunting was like the first thing that was like my escape, you know. So I'm just living two dreams, man.
Yeah, exactly. Have you been to Africa?
I've never been to Africa. No, I've been to New Zealand and Mexico.
But, oh, cool.
One of my guys actually kind of handles all the stuff in Africa. And I really don't have a desire to go. I'm sure I would if somebody was like, you know, pulling my leg and paying for everything. But I just don't really have a draw right now to go to Africa.
I understand. And when you went to New Zealand, it was specifically for hunting. It wasn't. You weren't playing music.
No, I wasn't playing music. I did that in 2019, I think, pre-pandemic, maybe even 2020. Yeah, I don't know what year that was. They're all running together now. But but yeah, we went over there. I took a crew of guys. And we were over there for like 12 or 14 days. And we hunted and we, you know, did sightseeing and rode the train the whole length of the South Island and did some cool stuff. It was a great trip. It definitely opened my eyes to just the, I mean, how big the world is. But yet again, like all everybody is the same, you know. People in New Zealand, especially the small town people, were, man, they were just like Texans. Like they were like the people that I was raised around. They were so nice and accommodating, and that was really cool and to learn that about folks that are all the way across the other side of the world, you know.
Sure. And yeah. So did you grow up in Fort Worth?
Yeah, so we were east of Dallas. I was raised there until I was like 10. Okay. And then moved west of DFW area to another small town called Millsap. Went to junior high and high school there, and that's kind of where I consider like home is Millsap. And then I, you know, as soon as I graduated high school, I got out and started playing music and really beat up the road for 4 years. And then we took the 4 year break. And
sure. Were your parents musical?
No. My parents were not, into music at all. Definitely, you know, they liked to listen to music, but didn't play or sing or anything. My sister, she sang and played a little bit of guitar and a little bit of piano, and she actually taught me my first like 3 or 4 chords on guitar. Uh-huh. And then, I always tell people she paid me for my first singing gig. She actually wanted me to sing a song with her in church and I didn't want to do it. I told her I'd do it for $50. And so she paid me $50 and wow. I did it. So yeah, she was like my first paid gig.
Yeah. And not only that, but in church nonetheless.
Right. Exactly. Wheeling and dealing, man.
Good for you. What was your first guitar?
My first guitar was a Hohner. I don't even know what the model was, but it's just a, you know, cheap, shitty Hohner guitar.
Nylon string or steel string?
No, steel string. I wish I knew what model it was. That's I got it from McKay's Music in Sulphur Springs, Texas, which one of the Eagles? Drummer from the Eagles bought his first drum kit McKay's Music in Sulphur Springs, Texas. And I found that out not very long ago. And I was like, man, that's super rad. That's where I got my first guitar. But I upgraded to another cheap, shitty Fender guitar later on. And then, man, I kind of filed through a lot of different, like mid-level guitars over the years, until I got into a Callings, maybe 3 years ago. Okay. And I played a Callings for about 2 or 3 years. And then, I finally bought my first Martin last year. Okay. I don't know why it took me so long to get into a Martin, because I always wanted one. And it really wasn't, I mean, like I said, I bought the Callings and that was an expensive guitar.
Sure.
I don't know why it took me so long to get a Martin. I knew that's what that would fit me well, and I knew I would love it, but I don't know. I just never bought one. But anyways, I bought a used, it's like a 2018 or 2016, D28. Uh-huh. And, I love it, man. It's my go-to. It is a great sounding guitar. I played several of them, and you know how, I mean, any make is this way, but I feel like Martin really is. Like you can pick up 10 D28s and they're all a little bit different. They
For sure.
Feel a little different, you know.
100%.
And this one is incredible for me, for my liking. The neck just feels really good. And we actually just started. We just picked up String Joy as one of our sponsors for this fall tour.
Oh, right on.
Which is, I didn't know a whole lot about them. I mean, I obviously knew they made strings, but
sure.
I started running their Foxwood strings, which is just their phosphorus bronze strings on it.
Yep.
And dude, if you haven't tried those strings, I'm assuming you're a player, James. But
yeah,
if you haven't tried those Foxwoods from String Joy, they're next level, man. Dude, okay. Those strings, I'm not just saying it because they give us a discount, but they're phenomenal strings. We strung it up. Our guitar tech strung it up one night before the show, and he brings it into the green room, and he's like, dude, this thing is just like, it's just shining. He said, this guitar was great. with your D'Addario, you know, mediums that you always ran on it. But he's like, play these.
Yeah.
And we were all sitting there just kind of gawking over it. But yeah, that's kind of my go-to guitar. And then I've got a D18 that is cool. I probably won't have it much longer. I haven't fell in love with it. And then I've got like my home guitar. Is a Harmony. It's actually in my back seat right now. I don't even have a case for it. I always just throw it in my back seat.
That's
but
funny.
It's a 1962 Harmony H165, I think is what it is, what the model is on it. But just a super cheap guitar. I bought it on tour 4 or 5 years ago in Spokane, Washington. We walked into a guitar center. We needed something like in a pinch of cables or something. I don't remember what it was. And I walked in and it was like behind the counter. And it was like the guitar that all the guys that worked at guitar center just kind of picked up and fucked around on. And I was like, how much for that old Harmony? And the guy was like, $200. It's like sold, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And I bought it just because it looked, just because I liked the look of it. And I've always loved Harmony guitars. I've owned a bunch of them.
Uh-huh.
And they're, I'm sure you know this, but like, there's you can buy 100 Harmony guitars and only one of them play well. They're just kind of a weird deal, you know. And they're not super expensive. They weren't made great. They were just kind of a mass produced deal, but I took that one to the bus and then looked at it and I'm like, man, no wonder this thing was $200. It was all warped. And, the whole back, was just like a wave hit it. I mean, it was just super wavy. And my bass player looked at it and he was like, dude, I bet this thing fixes itself when we get it home and it gets into a drier climate. And, I was like, well, whatever, we'll just use it as a boss guitar, you know, or something to pick around on. And sure enough, about 6 months later, I noticed that the back had completely flattened itself out.
Wow.
The top had a little bit of a warp to it, and it completely fixed itself. And I took it to my guitar tech that does all my setups and everything, and he was like, dude, this thing is rad. He's like, why? How is it not all warped up? And I'm like, well, funny you say that. It was warped up. But brought it home and got it in, you know, I left it in my studio just hanging and just kind of let it rest and it like fixed itself.
Wow.
And anyways, he braced it up and did everything that needed to be done to it to make it stay all straight and in contact with each other. And that's like one of my favorite guitars. I wrote this new record that's about to come out. I think I wrote like 7 or 8 of those songs on that guitar.
I just
pick it up and it just feels right, you know. It's
sure.
Definitely not the best sounding guitar, but it stays in tune really well for an old guitar, and it just, I don't know, it just feels good to me, you know. I run those Martin I'm trying to think of what they're called, the actual name for them. They're a nylon string, but they're steel. They've got like steel wound nylon string. My bass player is actually the one that told me about them. He runs them on one of his guitars, but yeah, it's a cool sounding guitar. That's kind of my acoustic makeup. And then my electric, I don't have much going on the electric side besides just my one go-to. I don't switch electric guitars. Like, I just switch back and forth during the show.
Sure, sure.
Back and forth, you know, between electric and acoustic. But I've got I was able to buy my dream electric guitar 2 or 3 years ago on tour. We were in Chicago.
Yeah.
And went to Chicago Music Exchange.
Sure you did.
And I walked in with one guitar on my mind, and I saw it, and I bought it. And I told the guys on the way over there, I was like, listen, if it's there, I'm gonna buy it. And it's a Gibson 330T, so it's
oh, right on.
It's a 335 just with one pickup, a single pickup.
Oh, wow.
Is basically what it is.
Yeah. Is it a P90 or is it a humbucker?
It's a humbucker.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. So yeah, it's awesome. I love it, man.
Yeah.
We call it BB because it just didn't mean anything for me purchasing or not, but it does have a BB King signature on it. It's a 1959 330T, and it's awesome. I love that guitar.
You know, with the harmony, there's a guy in New Mexico. His name's Scott Baxendale, and he does conversions.
I talk to Scott often.
Okay, good. Yeah, good. Right. Yeah,
he sends me. He kind of knows the ones that I like, and so he'll you know, get one all converted and then send me a picture of it and send me a price. And I haven't bought one from him yet, but I'm going to when it's the right one.
Yeah, yeah, of course. You know which one it's going to be. It's going to be the Buck Owens guitar.
Exactly. I thought about buying one of those from him. He sent me one a few months ago. He also sent me one that was like hand painted. That was super cool. It was more of like a parlor. I don't know if it was a harmony or if it was like a silver tone maybe or something.
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
It was like a parlor style guitar, real small. But somebody had hand painted it. All these birds and flowers and stuff. And man, it was a really cool looking guitar.
Oh, all those guitars are cool. Like every
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Scott's cool, man.
Yes, he is. Yes. Yeah. So when did the band come together?
So I formed the band late 2011. I started, I was kind of give you the whole rundown.
Sure.
I didn't really have any intentions on playing music, ever, you know, especially not for a job or a career.
Yeah.
But I wrote a song, very unintentionally wrote the song. I don't remember like trying to write it. I just wrote it and I wrote a melody on the guitar to it and, played it for some friends at a friend's house one night when I was like 17, and they were like, dude, that song's awesome. Like you gotta go play this competition that the radio station puts on and you know, let people know that song. Nah, I'm probably not gonna do that. Well, they talked me into doing it and I won the competition. It was like a 12 series, and so if you won one night, then there was a finale, and so all 12 of the winners did a song, and then whoever won. So I won the whole thing, and I got to go open for Sean McConnell, which is he's a great Texas singer songwriter. He's living in Nashville, but anyways, I got to go open for him, and that led to my first booking agent. And that led to putting the band together. So put the band together like late 2011, really kind of hit stride and started playing music consistently with the band early 2012. We beat it up 2012, 13, and pretty much all of 14. Uh-huh. And we were playing like 200 to 250 shows a year. We were playing all the damn time. And not making any money, any traction, but we were putting records out. Like in that stint of time, I put an EP out, the very first EP, which is called Love Me Instead. I put our first full length record out, which is called Beer Mom. Uh-huh. And then we put our second full length record out, which is called How Did I Get Here? And then I recorded another EP called Lone Wolf, and I didn't put it out. Because that's when so November 2014, I just called the guys. A lot of things were going on, extracurricular activities, booze and me just being a dumb kid and just a lot of things going on. And so I wasn't seeing the traction that I thought we should be getting either. And so I was just kind of like, man, I'm done with this. And so I called them and I canceled the rest of the year's dates. And then I really didn't talk to any of the guys in the band for a long time, like a couple of years. Not because I was mad at them or anything, but I just started the hunting thing and I never thought I would go back to music at any rate, you know,
sure.
Especially not at this rate. And so maybe 2 years later, 2016 or early 17, maybe, Aaron, my drummer, he's been with me from the very beginning. He's always kind of ran our back end stuff on online and distribution and all that. Uh-huh. And he reached out to me and he was like, hey, didn't you record an EP that EP was just, it was all acoustic songs. It was just me and my guitar. And,
sure.
I think I had a little bit of violin on there and maybe some percussion or something. I don't remember, but he's like, didn't you record four or five songs? And I was like, yeah, they're on my email somewhere. And he's like, let's put it out. He's like, I think people would like it. You know, people are still listening to your songs.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, sounds good. And so like, I was fishing. I went on like a 3-month fishing trip. Me and a buddy did. And he was like, what do you want to use as the cover? And I was like, well, it's a super badass picture in the snow on the river yesterday. Check it out. And I like, sent it to him. And he was like, okay, sounds good. Let's use it. And so he like put my name on there and put the name of the EP Lone Wolf and put it out. And I didn't pay any attention to it. I didn't even like post anything on the internet about it. I just put it out, you know, like 2 or 3 days later. And a couple of those songs just started killing it. And then, yeah, maybe like another year and a half later, he reached out and he was like, dude, I don't know if you know this or if anybody ever tells you what's going on, but like, there's a few of our songs that are really blowing up. They're, you know, they've gotten around. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I didn't even know the severity of it. And, that's been, like I said, that was like probably late 2017 or early 2018. And, then, sometime in like July, I think of 18 or 19, one of my buddies, Co Wetzel, he's, I don't know if you know who that is, but he's very well known these days in the music world. And he was a guy that came up opening for us those first few years and he just stuck with it and now he's, you know, all but a superstar. and he reached out to me and he's like, hey, I want you to play an acoustic show with me in Stephenville, Texas on a Monday night. And I was like, man, I'm not playing music anymore. You know that. And he's like, yeah, I know. But he's like, people love you. They want to see you play.
Wow.
And I'm like, what? That, you know, and at this point in time, my girlfriend, which is now my wife, she had never seen me play guitar or heard me sing in person. And she's like, why don't you do it? That'd be cool. You know, if anything, just I get to see you play. And even if nobody shows up. And I was like, well, okay, yeah, I guess so. Well, I'll go do it. And so I showed up, sound checked, had no idea what was – I didn't even know that any tickets had been sold. I really didn't. You know, I assumed people were going to come see Coe because he was already pretty well known at that point. I mean, he was selling, you know, several thousand tickets a night.
Sure, sure.
But, yeah, that place sold out on a Monday night. It's like 3,000 or 4,000 people. Mm. And – every single person in that place sang every single song that I sang back to me. And I was just blown away. I mean, I, honestly, just kind of an out of body thing. I had no clue what was going on around me. And so we walked off stage and I looked at Co and I was like, how the fuck did you know this? And he's like, man, I don't know. He's like, I told you, he's like, people love you. So anyways, we, that next year, you know, is when we kind of started ramping things back up with the band and we just did it, you know, tastefully, like I said, those first few years back and just did like 6 to 10 shows. And then we started, we put a record out, went back into the studio with the band for the first time in 6 years and put out the, Everything Has Changed record. And then, started playing more shows. Then we put out the self-titled record a couple of years ago. And then, now here we are about to put out our 6th studio record.
Damn.
At a place that I call home. And
man,
it's been a ride. We've been lots of ups and downs.
Sure.
I don't know what we're in right now, if it's an up or a down, but it's fun. We're having fun. We're making, you know, in my opinion, we're making sonically the best music that we've ever made.
The record's fantastic. I don't for sure.
Thank you so much. I'm really proud of it. It's kind of, I've been referring to it as like my grown up record, you know. I feel like I'm finally a grown up in every aspect. And, I think the record portrays that, you know, lots of things about, you know, raising a, raising a kid and a family, and there's a couple songs in there about my wife, and several songs about navigating life, you know, mental health. Mental health was a topic that I didn't even intentionally try to write about. I'm really kind of a tough it out kind of guy. I've never like bought into the whole mental awareness thing, but not saying that it's not real. I just didn't realize how relevant it was in my life, you know, and I guess I struggle with it to some extent too. And a lot of folks around me do. And I've been able to help folks, with it. And yeah, so we got this record done. And I turned around and was listening to mixes, and I'm like, man, there's four songs on the record that are primarily the topic is mental health and just navigating life and realizing that we're all in it together, you know? So, that was kind of wild for me to be like, huh, this just came out organically. I didn't try to do this, but yeah, needless to say, I'm really proud of it, and I'm ready for everyone to hear it.
Yeah.
And we got vinyls in. What's today? Wednesday. We got the vinyl pressings in, on Monday and shipped out vinyl pre-orders. We've been offering that. So folks, if they pre-ordered the record, they could hear it about a week early, because it comes out next Thursday, the 26th, or next Friday, the 26th. And, okay. So we got folks reaching out that are stoked, you know, they're getting to hear it a week or so early. And
yeah,
I think that's cool.
Oh yeah, of course.
Especially hearing it, you know, in the raw on a vinyl. There's something about that.
So. Yeah, of course. Hey, your acoustic guitars, do you have onboard electronics on those?
Yeah. I run all LR bags, Anthem.
Okay.
Electronics, and I've been going as far as like my pedals set up and stuff on the acoustic side. I've been changing things up a lot lately, whereas I went like 5 or 6 years and didn't touch anything. I built my board and I was like, okay, this is perfect, and I just didn't touch anything, and nothing ever went wrong. Patch cables didn't mess up, like it was just a super solid board, and I start changing shit up about 2 months ago, and I've been having so many problems, and me and our tour manager and my bass player are all just like beating their heads up against the wall with this pedal configuration and circuits and stuff. But anyways, my acoustic side's pretty basic, just a tuner. And then I run through a Strymon El Capistan, the echo pedal.
Yeah, of course.
And I touch it with a little bit of echo. And I'm about to start running that new, new to me. I don't know how long it's been out, but that new LR Bags DI. Uh-huh. And it's got a built-in EQ and stuff like that.
Yep, yep.
Just because we're playing, we've had the problem recently. Like we played an arena last week. That was, you know, abnormally big room for us.
Uh-huh.
And it was hard, you know, we run all in-ear monitors, and we were like, we get into the thick of a song and I'm like, there's, you know, the acoustic guitar was there, but now it's gone.
Yeah.
And it's like a frequency thing in those bigger rooms. And so we're going to try to nip that in the bud with that DI, uh-huh. Using the EQ on there. And then my electric side, I run a Boss tuner on it as well. Yeah. And then I run to a JHS preamp overdrive.
Okay.
Which is a really cool, simple pedal. It's just got a gain and a volume, uh-huh. but it totally rips. And then I run through, trying to think of the name of the pedal. It is it's a tape delay, but I can't even, I'm drawing a blank on the brand of it. But I run through a tape delay, uh-huh. and then I run through my
Varsity. Tape delay with actual tape in it.
No, it's just in a pedal.
I can't think
of what the name of it is.
The Dunlop Echoplex.
No, not the Echoplex. Ryan, my lead guitar player, runs the Echoplex.
Okay.
I'm drawing a huge blank.
That's okay.
on it.
That's okay.
Probably got a picture of it somewhere, but. I use a Magnetone Varsity.
Okay, right on.
A newer one, not one of the old ones, but
yeah, but still,
I love it, man. That thing is just so true sound, especially with that running that my 59 Gibson through it.
Yeah.
It's just a powerhouse. It's so loud, and it's clean when you want it to be clean. It's crunchy when you want it to be crunchy, and it's really cool that setup, that guitar, and that amp together. I don't really ever turn off and on any pedals. Play softer or harder and get that crunch out of it that I need. And which is cool. I play, you know, primarily rhythm. But you know, if you lay into that Gibson, with that Magnetone, you know, set to 5 or 6 volume, you lay into it and it's like blow your socks off, you know? But it's a cool setup. It's kind of a setup that I've been running for the past 2 years or so, and
right on.
I don't see anything changing too much. Once I get this pedal board all dialed in, we'll be good to go. But I always ran like a homemade pedal board, you know, that I made, you know, just cut out a piece of wood and kind of dialed in myself. And I switched to one of those Temple Audio boards.
Yep.
Because they make those plates for the bottom that you can like screw all of your pedals in, and they're just really cool. My bass player was running one, and I was like, man, that thing is rad. I mean, once you get it set up, it's indestructible. And so I've been liking that, the Temple Audio board. I bought the big one. I don't think it's the biggest one, but it's like the 25-incher, and it was really too big. So I bought the 15-incher. I'm going to downgrade and kind of move everything a little closer together.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the rundown on the whole setup.
Yeah. Do you guys carry that B3 with you everywhere you go?
No. We just he runs a Nord Stage 3.
Okay.
Sounds like we do.
Yeah. It
but
does.
I am hopeful that one of these days we'll have the possibility to carry a real B3.
Yeah, you're gonna have to get a bigger trailer.
It's gonna have to be a much bigger trailer. But I've always thought that was really cool, man. When bands have the capability to do that on stage.
Oh yeah. Well, it's been great talking to you, Colton. I really appreciate your time.
Likewise. Thanks for having me.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's been fun talking a little bit about gear and the history of the band.
Yeah. If and when you guys come out to Northern California, I can't wait to see you guys.
Yeah. Where are you at in Northern California?
I'm in Napa. So I'm, north of San Francisco.
Awesome. Yeah, dude, that's, we were just out in central coast, back in July, and I really fell in love. I'd been out there several times before, but for some reason this time, more so than the others, I just fell in love with that area we were in. Monterey and all that area. And man, it's beautiful. The weather's beautiful. The landscape is gorgeous. So, yeah. I think if you could get me out of Texas, I'd probably live in California on the Central Coast.
I don't know. You probably wouldn't like the politics here.
Yeah, definitely not.
California's got is great. Especially if it's the middle of summer and your option is Texas, where it's, you know, over 100 degrees.
Right.
Central Coast is pretty ideal because it's about 75, maybe, like between 70 to 75.
Yeah, like any day of the year.
Yes. Well, winter could be cold, but Well, thanks, Colton.
Cool, man. Yeah, you bet. I appreciate you having me on here.
Oh, of course. And, safe travels.
Look forward to meeting you one day.
Oh, yeah.
Later, man.
Safe travels. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to Have Guitar Will Travel. You can catch up on all the things I'm doing at thedeadlies.com. And I'm on all the social media platforms as well. And please support Vintage Guitar and all the wonderful things they do, because they do many, many wonderful things for us guitar players. Thanks. Please subscribe. Please tell a friend. And I'll see you guys next week. Bye, guys.